Praise the Lord, folks, and good morning to all you folks listening out there, and well, good afternoon to you on the East Coast. But we welcome you to our service this morning. This is the first day of the week. Let us get oriented and go forward in Him. Well, if you don't know God is an awesome God yet, I brought Paul up here because this is his theme song. Is it not, Paul? It's one of your favorite songs. So we're going to let Paul preach a bit.
Well, you know, his awesomeness has been shown this week. And, you know, this week of fellowship has been food for the soul. And I'm going to miss being around y'all so much. It's hard for me to get really a grip on how awesome I know he is and speak it forth because it's just been so overwhelming. But when we come together like this, and the Spirit is manifested, and the Word is preached, and the Word is shared, we become a more close-knit community in the kingdom, in His kingdom. And I confess I enjoy spending time with you. And I also confess I wish I was better at it. But I'm getting better and better at doing it because I do enjoy it. I just see so many examples of Him, the Lord, meeting us, not only in our needs and provision for us to do His work, but in our desires. As our desires line up with His will, He just becomes good to us. Sometimes it's just from somebody like Davey or Steve speaking the word to us. And I sit and I read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That's what we do. That's what we're about. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That hardness is not a hardness that God puts on us because He can. There's a hardness in training a soldier. And as relates to all of us and our service, what makes it hard is this corrupt body of flesh that's death. And it isn't a regimen designed by God to be painful to us. It's a regimen designed for us to be able to develop into soldiers that profit Him and further His kingdom. It isn't just mean to be mean. It's hard so that you let the darts and arrows of the enemy just fall off your back like water off a duck's back. And remember that our goal is to prosper each other, provoke one another to love and good works, to speak the truth to one another in love, because speaking the truth is love. Primest example of that is Jesus. Jesus told the truth in every case, no matter what it sounded like. It didn't sound good to that rich young ruler who came to him and said, "What do I lack?" Mark says, Mark chapter 10, I believe, says, and Jesus loved him. And he said, "One thing you lack. Take all that you have, sell it, give to the poor, pick up your cross, and follow me." He said he had followed all these things from the beginning, from a youth. But the one thing he missed was the idolatry of his wealth. He didn't need to be sold out to God because he was wealthy and he could have anything he wanted. My very life, my very next breath is the Lord's. And if he will, the next one. But he's purchased me lock, stock, and barrel. I am not my own. And if you're his, you're bought with a price as well. And we are in a war. We're in a war for the seed of Adam. And our strength and our secret weapon is the Lord. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. All this stuff out here, stuff that doesn't matter, that has been in the past too easy to knock us off track. We have to develop disciplined minds. We have to exercise the senses and the spirit. Hebrews says, by reason of use. You just get used to them. You rely on them, just like you rely on your five senses in the natural, that you are able to see the struggle, to see where the person you're dealing with, where this all relates to that person. The Lord starts giving you stuff for them because he's good. Not because you're good, because he loves them. Many times the battle is not one that involves tangible weapons. Most of the time the battle is fought with the word, which is mightier than a two-edged sword, to the splitting asunder of soul and spirit. If you have his word, you have the mightiest weapon of all. And I just praise him.
Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn to 1 Peter 4. And you know, we sang that song, Awesome God. And I want you to understand the thing, and that is, the world out here doesn't know that there's an awesome God. I mean, I know I didn't know there was an awesome God. 28 years walking on this earth, walking around, seeing a lot of different things, and I had no idea, zero, that there indeed was an awesome God. So how is the world going to know but we tell them? Now, one of the things that's come up this week a number of times is preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. Now, if you read the first three chapters of 1 Peter, you're going to see a lot of talking about how you preach the gospel without using words. I encourage each and every one of you to read the entire book, but the first three chapters lay out all the things. They lay out about husbands and wives, you know, parents and children, lays out about employers, you know, masters and servants. It lays all of these things out, and most of us know these things. But the element that Peter does in those first three chapters that even goes a little step further than we generally think, and it's one of the reasons why I want you to read it, is because what he talks about is how you do it with those whom you don't like. You know, the master who doesn't seem to treat you so good, and the husband who doesn't seem to treat you so good. You mean I'm not then justified in changing my behavior completely and doing wrong because he doesn't deserve me to treat him good? And you read in those things, you're going to find, I mean, what praise is it, he says, if you do good unto those that do good unto you? What's praiseworthy is when you do it unto those who don't do good unto you. And you know what? It makes visible to them that they're not doing good unto you. And when that comes up, their own works begin to testify against themselves in a manner that has never happened in their life before. And they begin to know that there's something different about you than every other person they've ever come into contact with. And it opens up now for you to speak the gospel unto them, because they can see that it is true. So, this week, this is the first day of the week. And in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." And that's really talking about a bunch of the things I was just saying, right? It's that kind of stuff. Arm yourself with the same mind. You determine that you're not going to give yourself any excuse for falling short of fulfilling what his word says. Just determine. You determine. And you go forward in that. And are you going to falter and fail? Yes, but what do? You repent. Thank God his mercies are new every morning. Now look, a week ago or about 8 or 10 days ago, we started arriving here, right? Did we arrive here perfect? Did we arrive here with a lot of testimony that was against us? A lot of testimony that was against us? I mean, a lot of testimony that was against us. We had a lot of testimony against us, did we not? But you know what? We begin this day without any of it. Without any of it. Folks, let's go forward in that. So he says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. See, and that suffering in the flesh that we're talking about, I mean, it encompasses a lot of things, but in the context of the stuff I was just chatting about, it's like that whole thing of, well, this person doesn't deserve, but you do it for them anyways. You love them anyways. And when they don't change in their behavior, you know what you do? You keep doing it. You know, well, I tried, but they didn't receive, so now I get to give up, right? It's not how it works. Imagine that. Imagine that. So you endure hardness as a good soldier. And go on, it says, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. See, what happens is now instead of obeying the lusts of your flesh and the lusts of your mind, you are obeying the word of God. That's what you're doing. Doesn't mean your flesh has changed and all of a sudden feels warm and fuzzies toward the person who you're doing this for. But instead what you've decided is that you're going to serve that person as unto the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's a pretty high standard, right? That's a very high standard. And yet, you know what? When you do that, the Lord looks down and he is pleased. He is pleased with what he sees you doing. And his blessings begin to come forth. Paul was talking about those things, about being able to exercise yourself in your spiritual senses. Those blessings begin to come forth. Why? Because you're denying this old guy and all of his senses, which are tied to that which is cursed, and only see that which is cursed. And you begin to lean on him who is not under that curse and exercise yourself in those senses that are designed to enable you to minister in love and to the needs of the heart of the person who's before you. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And the reason why the verse that was coming to me this morning was this one, because it was talking about the rest of his time in the flesh. All of us, before we got here this week, and probably all the way up to this morning, and maybe to this very moment, I suspect, have had a lot of testimony of living in the flesh and being obedient to what our flesh says. Dave over here was baptized this week, right, Dave? You said, I want to die to that old guy, and I want to be alive to that new man. And you even testified to me about some things about how before you weren't so alive to, you were very alive to that old guy, and we're now seeking to go forward in a new direction, right? And that's what water baptism is all about. Just about every one of us here, if not every one of us, have received that. Let us walk in that. You know, as you receive Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. We walk in the power of that water baptism by faith in God. You're not going to feel it. If you're going to wait till you feel it, you're never going to do it. You're just going to have to walk believing it, notwithstanding the testimony of your flesh against you. And you're going to do it by, with your mind, deciding to serve the law of God. I'm not talking about the law of Moses. I'm talking about the law of faith in Christ Jesus and loving one another as he hath loved us. Right? You're going to walk in those things. And the Bible lays out what it is to love so we can see it in each of those relationships. So you decide, you determine you're going to do that. And as you do, you're going to grow. Now watch this. I'm going to read down quickly through here because I want to get to a place. It says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. In other words, the will of the unbelievers. We did the same things. When we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So in other words, when you get transformed, the people who used to hang out don't cheer you. Hey, way to go. What's the matter with this guy? What did they do to him? That's the attitude you're going to get. What did they do to you? Come back, man. No, we don't like that guy. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit, which is what the gospel liberates us to do. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Soberness is going to be an important thing. As we go forward here, we're going to have to be sober. We're going to have to be aware of what is going on and not take things lightly. And watch unto prayer. You're going to be wondering what's going on and what I should do. So what do? You get into prayer. You look at the Word. What does it tell me? And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Isn't that exactly what's happened this week? Have you not experienced the fervent charity of the Lord unto you to cover the multitude of your sins, that you could be set free? Do likewise one to another in your fellowships. Likewise one to another in your fellowships, because you are going to falter. You are going to mess up. You are going to fail. You're going to go out into the world and you're going to interact and you're going to come back tarnished. And you're going to need that fervent charity to restore you and to enable you to go forward and do it. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. You're welcome, folks. You guys want to come up and hang out with me? We have a guest room. It's called the Hotel Atherton. You're welcome. We would love to have you. And likewise, it should be with each of us. Amen. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Look at that. As you've received the gift, minister the same one to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You received it by grace. It's yours. Minister it unto one another. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And this is what I wanted to get to. See, it's all of these other things are what are going to open up the opportunity for you to speak. And when you speak, speak the oracles of God. In other words, God's answer for the person before you. That's what the oracles of God are. God's answer for the person before you. And you'll be prepared to do that if you do the other things. If you don't do the other things, you're always going to be wondering, well, what do I say? But if you've done the other things, it's not, well, it's laying the groundwork for them to receive. It's also laying the groundwork for you to be able to give. Amen? Amen. Philip, why don't you get on up here?
You want me to preach? Well, praise God. This is a surprise. But no, I mean, there is a couple of things. I mean, one thing that's been in my mind all week long was in 1 Corinthians. And I'm just going to hit this verse because it's very vital for us to be like that. And one of some of the things that Steve was talking about is loving God, loving one another. You know, I mean, it's freely have you received, freely give. And that's important. You know, I want to be a salty church. I want to be his body, effective. I mean, because we got many churches out here right now that aren't delivering the love of Christ. It's not preaching the gospel of Christ. They're preaching the gospel and. They're preaching legalism. They're preaching basically the law in some sense. But that's not what we're called to be. We're called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're called to be his body. Amen? And it's so important to love one another. I mean, how else are they going to know you're my disciples? This is what Jesus says, but by your love for one another. And it's just vital. I mean, if we can't love one another that should know better, that know the love of Jesus Christ, how in the world are we going to love them out there that don't know him? I mean, we're kidding ourselves if we think that's the case. We really are. I mean, this week has been a new perspective on that for me. But I want to go also to 1 Corinthians, I think. In 1 Corinthians And I just want to go down to chapter 1, verse 10. And it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." One body, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father. If we're not putting on that, if we're not laying down that old, carnal, nasty mind of ours and putting on His mind, it's of no use, because that's the one that works the love. But as we go back to our fellowships, because we're all gathered here together, and I praise the Lord for it. It's been a great fellowship in time. Seen a lot of people I've missed, a lot of people I love, a lot of people that showed me that love when I didn't deserve it, that I got to see again. It's very, very important to me. I'm getting off track here a little bit, sorry. But as we go back to our fellowship and to our body, let's keep that in mind. Because the Lord's not going to give you more people to minister to you if we can't love one another, if we can't get on that same mind. A lot of us are going into discipleship too. That was not in discipleship beforehand. Those disciples are there for you, that God, and they're a gift from God, that you may learn that mind of Christ, that you may learn to walk in faith, that you may grow in the Lord and carry out His word. But Paul says, "Now I beseech you." That means I beg of you to be of that same mind, be of one accord. And that's what we got to take home with us from this. And it's very vital. And I believe that's what the Lord has for us to be taken home with us. Amen?
Well, praise the Lord. You know, Phil, that verse is the kind of preamble to our Articles of Faith. And the one thing, you know, people don't take those kinds of things seriously a lot of times. But, you know, it was amazing. What distinguished Jesus from all the other teachers was that His doctrine was with power. How are they going to know we serve an awesome God unless they see His power? And how are you going to be able to minister unto them what an awesome God He is unless your life has been transformed by Him, by that power? Then you can tell others about it. Amen. Now, I know we got an ordination to do today, and I know we also are going to be doing communion. Musicians, why don't you come on up here? And I guess I'm kind of hoping Davey's going to rescue me here, because I'm not sure how he wants to go about this. here he comes. There you go. Praise the Lord. But that, I just want you to understand something of the specialness of what's about ready to take place here today, folks. And I don't want you to miss it, because I watch all the time as the mighty, extraordinary works of God happen right before people's eyes and they don't even see it. May the Lord open your eyes that you don't miss it. Amen?
What are we doing now?
I don't know.
We gotta pull Scott up?
Yes, we pull Scott up. We got the anointing oil?
I got it. I want you to understand this ministry. We don't ordain. We recognize what God has already done. Man cannot make a preacher. Only God can do that. All we can do is recognize what God has done. So with this in mind, it has been shown in many ways that Scott has been called to be a minister of the gospel. And with this anointing and the laying on of hands, and I'm going to call some of you forward. I'm going to call Ann and Charlie and Karen and Robin. We'll call Bob. I'm going to call Philip, and I'm going to call Paul, and Ricky by spirit, he's going to be playing. what I want you to do, if I can get this lid off of here without spilling it. Thank you. Pass this around just a little bit. You don't need a whole lot. We could just dump it on him. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that you brought Brother Scott to the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, and you put in his heart the desire to minister your word. We recognize, Lord, through his service, through his dedication to you, his humility, that you have called him. Lord, I ask that when we lay hands on him in the earth with this oil representing your Holy Spirit, that you give him a special unction. Let your anointing come upon him, that by your anointing, O Lord, he may move forward in the love, charity that you have, that he may take it forth to others as well. In Jesus' name, we recognize this work, O Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that your anointing is filling. Today is our last service of the meetings. It's the first day of the week. And being the first day of the week, it's the first day of the rest of your lives. Amen. Let it be the first day of a real dedication to serve God. Serve Jesus Christ. And one of the things talked about this day was love. Steve is standing where he's standing today because he came into a small house in Vermont full of people living with one another under one roof, and he saw love. When you go forth from here, take love, let people see it. That's the only way they're going to know Jesus. Like Steve was saying, the flesh lusts after unrighteousness. He didn't say that, but that's what he was trying to say. So that when people do evil to you or people are unkind to you, your flesh wants to get even, wants to get back. And when you follow after that, you're following after the lust of your flesh. But when people do evil and do unkind things and say unkind things and you love them for the love of God back and do good unto them, you're following the law of God. Sooner or later, they got to see it. If they don't see it, pity them. Don't hate them. Amen? Now we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper here. Steve's going to participate in this. Before we do, I'm going to read something. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat of this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let that man eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. We should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. The rest I will set in order when I come. When we take of this, you serve each other. But take a moment before you come up. Admit your sin to the Lord, that you are a sinner. I know I am. Confess your sin to the Lord. And by faith, knowing that this bread represents the body of Christ, that this wine represents his blood, by faith you receive it as such. You may even be healed. Amen.
Take me past the outer core.
Lord, and we thank you for the forgiveness of sins you've given. And we thank you for the fact that you've delivered to us this ordinance for us to keep, that we may partake together and be blessed. We thank you for all these things, and may your grace cover us in Jesus' name.
Praise. thirst for your righteousness. It's only found one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb.
Let's everybody that's going to be a partake come up through the center aisle.
I want to see your face as we by the crowd of people. Just sing your praise. Hunger with us for your righteousness. Only found one grace. Take me into the holy, holy. Be in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in.
Afterwards, he took the cup. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Those of you that have partaken of the bread and would like to partake of the cup, come up the center aisle.
You are my God. You are.
Amen.
Can we praise the Lord?
Amen.
We thank thee, O Lord, for this bread and for this wine that is your body and your blood. And we thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven us our sins.
Amen.
And healed us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody and tell them you love them in the name of Jesus.
So let's go forth in the first day of the rest of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen. Well, you have to pick it. You have to pick it.
I have to pick it.
Yeah. Okay.
Woo! Yeah. Find me that Lamegan.
Turn it up. All the way up. All the way up.
That's all we need. Get, make it louder.
Lord, a cheer. You know.
Amen. Now we're dismissed.
Yeah. And as you go forth, folks, just remember this one thing. The same way in which you worship the Lord here and desired more, you don't need a band to help you do that. You can do it yourself every single day.
Amen.
Amen.